And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Game Notes, the Utah Jazz podcast on The Athletic. I'm Dave Dufour, and that means lurking somewhere in the shadows is Tony Jones.
You're not in the shadows. Like, you're number one and dear to my heart.
No, you're lurking in the shadows.
I am not lurking in.
You're bad.
Which one of us is the Ben Simmons of this podcast?
Oh, a non-shooter? It's got to be you.
Oh, listen, I'm doing this podcast currently.
I'm the tall one, so I don't know.
That one hurt. Okay, I'm really, because you said that, like, I'm seriously doing this game with my cell phone in my pocket.
Now listen, we did a pod, when was this, 2 weeks ago at this point? When you were in Dallas.
Yes.
We did it with our friend Sarah Todd from the Deseret News, and I blew it. I just want to, this is my mea culpa. I blew it. We would have had a podcast out, a preview podcast. It was excellent, but I blew it. It was my fault. The audio wound up not being great. Air filtration systems are pretty loud, turns out, and I didn't do a good job. We're going to have Sarah back at some point during the season and definitely get her view on the Jazz. But Tony, it's good to be back with you. And I want to jump right in because, you know, we just don't have a lot of time.
Wait a minute. Are we betting this year? What's our bet this year?
You know, I was thinking about this. This team is going to win so many games that I think that, kind of like last year, we're going to wind up so close to each other that it might not be a competition. I don't know how we do this. Maybe we take suggestions. And we'll just do the best competition that the listeners kind of come up with. So hit us in the comments on the Athletic app. Hit us in the comments on Twitter and let us know what you think we ought to do this year, because we definitely need a contest. It was fun last year, and we tied, which stinks.
And we've been in each other's presence, and nobody bought steak.
Yeah, I know. Cause, well, it was a tie. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have settled it with a foot race.
Oh, I would have won that easily. You would have lost.
Tony, now you know. Tony, don't make me send you a picture of leg day.
Listen, I mean, you want 100.
You want
to do a 100-yard dash. I mean, you lose, sure, by about a good 10 yards.
Tony, I am shopping for flights to Salt Lake City right now. I swear to God, I am going to smoke you.
Like, you might buy me a smoked brisket, but you're not going to smoke me like in the 100-yard dash. You're going to lose the 100-yard dash.
Tony.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry about it. I'll catch you in Salt Lake City. All right, let's start off. With the state of the team, Tony, how do you feel about the Utah Jazz? How confident are you in the Utah Jazz?
I think they have as good a chance as anybody in the Western Conference to come out of the West. I think they are good enough to win the West. I think that I would put them in tier two, slightly below my two tier one teams, which are the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. But I don't think the separation is great between tier one and tier two. And in tier two, I have the Jazz, the Suns, and the Lakers. That's how I feel about the Jazz.
Okay. So you feel pretty positive that they can, at least as the regular season, they can be a top one or two seed again and get that.
Yeah, as long as they stay healthy, I mean, they're going to win, you know, a lot of games. Listen, they played around. I mean, we're recording this on Thursday, but they played around. I don't want to say played around, but, you know, they were basically able to name their own score against Oklahoma City last night. And Oklahoma City's not going to win a lot of games. I think they're going to. Do you think OKC wins 15 games? I'm not sure they win 15 games this year.
I think 15 is maybe about right. You know, like in the NBA, you can dumb luck your way into 15 to 18 games, I think. Like, it's pretty rare that you lose. What does that wind up being, like 60 some odd games? That's pretty rare.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, you're right, though. OKC is going to be bad on purpose.
Yes. They want to be back. So I think the Jazz are, they're a really good, solid team. And then the regular season, I mean, they're just going to win a, they're going to win a ton of games. And then we're going to see what happens in the playoffs.
Let's talk a little bit about what you've seen so far, like with the preseason. And then obviously the first game against Oklahoma City. There are any like new wrinkles that we should be paying attention to? Things that might be a long-term play, you know, stuff that's going to lead to evolution and improvement when it comes to like playoff time?
My goodness, I think we are witnessing the first 10-man rotation in the history of Quinn Snyder basketball. I think the Jazz intentionally played Jared Butler last night for 5 minutes, and the intention of playing him for 5 minutes or 6 minutes or however long he played was to take 5 minutes away from Mike Conley's playing time, which they hope, along with, you know, some strategic rest, will keep Conley fresh and healthy for the playoffs. So it was one of those things where, you know, Quinn Snyder has never kind of gone beyond a 9-man rotation. And I think in the season opener against OKC, I think that this was the first time that we've seen him play 10. So it was, you know, one of those things. Somebody made a really good point to me that no, Quinn Snyder has never played 10 guys before. That 10th guy on any of his teams has never really been an NBA player. So this is interesting. We're going to see if it persists through, you know, Sacramento and Denver and the road trip to start out next week and as we round into our first 10 games.
You know, that's a good point, that he hasn't had a lot of guys at, in the back of the bench that have really been solid NBA players. So why would he play them? If you're trying to win games, you know, I think this is one of the things that kind of Greg Popovich, Mike Budenholzer, Steve Kerr do, right? Early in the season, man, they're going to give these guys a shot because you need to find out what you got. I think this is a good move from Quinn. You like to see that evolution. Everyone, including me, keeps mentioning Utah in the same breath as Milwaukee because they kind of stick to the same thing, right? Solid defense, very good offense, and just chipping away, getting better year over year over year. A lot of people, Tony, are feeling like this could be the year for Utah. And if they're going to expand their, you know, the rotation a little bit, they're going to be fresher toward the end of the season when the, if they need to make a push for the number one seed. They might have a little bit left in the tank, but they certainly shouldn't run out of gas like they did last season, right?
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, there's going to be a conscious effort to get guys to the postseason healthy. So,
well, remember last year they started, what was it, 37 games in the first 71 days?
Yes.
Something ridiculous.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That was like over a game a day.
Right.
That was over a game every 2 days.
Every 2 days. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So this year it's going to just be easier there, right?
Yes. And I mean, you look at it right now, right? Like the Jazz are going to play tomorrow night and then they have 3 days off. But then the road trip that comes up behind the Denver game is going to be tough because it's 6 games and 7 nights, and all the 6 games are in clusters. Both of those 6-game sets is 3 and 4 games. So you have a 3-game in 4 days. You have Houston, Chicago, and Milwaukee. You have those 3 games in 4 days. And then you have 1 day off. You go across the country, come home, play Sacramento. Then you go back across the country on 1 day rest. And then you play another 3 and 4 days. So that part's going to be a tough schedule for the Jazz.
So anybody stand out to you in game one?
I thought the perimeter defense stood out. That's why I wrote about it. I think the Jazz are really making a real effort to guard on the perimeter and not rely so much on Rudy Gobert, you know, to clean up misses and clean up mistakes. And, you know, I think that Donovan Mitchell was terrific defensively on Wednesday night.
Thought they did a good job collectively against Shea.
Yeah, they did a really good job against Shea. They held him to 7-17 shooting from the field. I think he made 1 3-pointer. You know, he wasn't. I mean, I've seen games where against OKC where Shea, you know, was, you know, living in the paint and mm-hmm. you know, Lu Dort had 42 the last time
that's right.
OKC saw the Jazz. And, you know, Donovan Mitchell kind of held him for 2 for 10. So, you know, the caveat is that, you know, that backcourt was the only thing the Jazz had to worry about. So, you know, they were able to like really load up on those two guys. But I mean, you know, the results spoke for themselves. OKC scored 86 points. The Jazz were never threatened, and you know, there was never really a prolonged issue with getting defensive stops. Now, you know, Sacramento is going to be different. You know, those guys can really score. They can shoot the ball. So it's going to be a lot tougher of a test, especially on the road, especially home opener for the Kings. It's going to be a real tough test for the Jazz tomorrow.
Yeah, Sacramento looked pretty good against Portland. I mean, you know, they let them come back into the game, but it's the NBA, and that's just kind of how it works. But I was pleasantly surprised by Sacramento for the majority of that game. So, yeah, you're right. It is going to be tough. I guess let's talk a little bit about expectations. You see any of these younger guys, you know, you mentioned Jared Butler getting a little bit of run. Any of these guys going to actually break into the rotation when it comes to playoff time? Are there going to be new faces making plays for this team in important moments? Or is it the standard cast that we've kind of gotten used to plus Rudy Gay?
Well, it's going to be the standard cast. I mean, as long as these guys are healthy. I mean, when you get to playoff rotations, I mean, you know, you're going with your best eight or, you know, your best nine. You know, so you're going to have, you know, your starting five. You're going to have, you know, Joe Ingles and Jordan Clarkson. You're going to have a lot of Rudy Gay. I think Rudy Gay is going to be the eighth man for the Jazz in the regular season. And I think that he might be the sixth man for the Jazz in the playoffs. I think he's going to be that important to what the Jazz do. Once the playoffs start. So
small ball five for sure, right?
Yeah. I think he's one of those guys where, you know, during the regular season, he's playing 15 minutes a night. And then during the postseason, he's playing 25 minutes a night. You know, so, you know, I think that, you know, teams go with their best eight or best nine in the postseason. So, you know, I don't have any reason to believe that Quinn Snyder is not going to do the same thing.
Does this team have a trade to make?
Not right now. We'll see what happens closer to the deadline. But, yeah, you know, they don't have a trade. They're not looking
What's
to trade anybody right now. Well, the one weakness is there's no Torrey Craig on the roster.
Right. So how are they going to make up for that? Right. Like I understand that they hope health is going to be the biggest factor for their perimeter defense, but I don't think it's health, man. I think it's personnel.
You know, I think that they got to see what's available at the deadline. They got to see where they are, what they're doing. You know, I don't see them trading anybody in their core. You know, we'll see if something comes available that makes sense. But I don't think that this team is going to rob Peter to pay Paul. And I, you know, somebody, you know, I was having a conversation with somebody. I think it might have been Andy Larson, the fine writer at the Tribune. But you know, he made a good point. You know, this team is really good as the whole of its parts. But if you take away Joe Ingles and go get a perimeter defender, then guess what? There goes your playmaking off the bench. If you take away Bojan Bogdanović and go get a defender, guess what? There goes your spacing. If you take away Jordan Clarkson, then guess what? There goes, you know, a guy who could come in and score 20 if Donovan Mitchell or Mike Conley is off. If you go down the line and take away one guy, then you're taking away a major piece of the puzzle. So I don't know that the Jazz are in a position to trade any of their core pieces. They just got to try to find a way to add to the core. You know, and that's why they have an open roster spot, you know, for flexibility's sake. And I expect that roster spot to stay open. You know, and honestly, that's one of the reasons why Malik Fitz made this team, because I think that the Jazz are trying to identify guys who are potential wings who they can develop and see what they have down the line. Maybe not this year. Obviously, I don't expect Malik Fitz to play a role this year, but maybe down the road. So, you know, I think that, you know, will the Jazz be looking to have some movement at the trade deadline? I think yes. Do I think the Jazz are going to make a trade at the trade deadline? I still don't see that at this point.
Do you want to make some predictions?
Let's go.
All right. Donovan Mitchell. Is he going to make All-NBA?
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
He's a lock for All-Star, I think.
Yeah, he's a lock for All-Star.
Yeah. That's not even, like, to me, that's not even worth asking about. But I think he's got a good shot at All-NBA. And I guess, well, let me start here. Where do you expect this team to finish?
I expect them to finish in the top three in the West.
Okay. I think they're going to be the number one seed. And I think it's going to
I think they very well might
them.
Be the number one seed. Yes.
I think Donovan has a volume uptick in him. The stuff that we've seen from him in the playoffs, I think that's real. And I think he can do it in the regular season. So I'd like to see that. And I think if we get a little bit more volume from him and they're the number one seed, I think he's a dark horse MVP guy. I mean, it's going to take some convincing, but I mean, this is, we know he can score.
You know, last year was the first time in maybe ever that a top seed didn't have a top five MVP finish.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Jazz were to do that 2 years in a row, I don't know that they have that they don't have somebody in the conversation.
I agree. And I think Donovan is like the natural guy for that to go to. Rudy Gobert, is he going to win Defensive Player of the Year award?
No.
Yeah, it's over. They're going to have to rename the award after him.
He'll suffer from he's going to get dinged for what the perception is in the playoffs, and there's going to be voter fatigue.
Yeah, 100%. What about Quinn, Coach of the Year?
Possibly, because he's never won it.
Yeah. And at this point, you kind of you feel like it would be a body of work thing. I mean, I guess unless they had a really crazy season, but they had a crazy season last year.
What did he finish, third?
Yeah, I think so. He wasn't first. So.
I mean, at this point, if you do it 2 years in a row, you know, they rewarded Monty. And Monty was really deserving. But for me, it was Monty and Quinn, or Quinn and Monty, however way you wanted to look at it. So I would think that Quinn would get a long look this year if the Jazz are number one seed again.
Will the Jazz figure out their playoff defense this year? It doesn't necessarily mean that you're saying they're going to make the finals, but will they figure it out so it won't at least be the same problem that sends them home?
I don't know, but we're predicting, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, just we're guessing. Like, listen, none of us are Nostradamus generally. So we're always guessing.
I'm going to say not a full yes, but I'm going to say that as long as they're healthy, it's going to be better than it was last year. Because, you know, even if Mike Conley was healthy, right, I don't see any way that Reggie Jackson has the series against the Jazz that he had against the Jazz. And if Reggie Jackson doesn't have that kind of series against the Jazz, if Mike Conley is healthy, then to me that series turns out differently.
I'm not all the way there, but I definitely think it isn't as glaring. It isn't as bad.
Yeah, because, right, like, here's the thing. Paul George went off. Of course Paul George is going to go off because Paul George is Paul George. Kawhi Leonard went off. Of course, Kawhi Leonard is going to go off because Kawhi Leonard is Kawhi Leonard. I don't think the Jazz lost because of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I think the Jazz lost because of Reggie Jackson. Because, you know, in addition to those guys going off, Reggie Jackson went
Terrence
off.
Terrence Mann.
And then Terrence Mann obviously went off in game six. But if you have one guy that's healthy that can stay in front of Reggie Jackson and stop, you know, a lot of that penetration, then maybe the Jazz don't overcorrect as much as they do. And then, you know, and then the domino effect is Terrence Mann has somebody that's actually guarding him, so he doesn't score 39 in game six. And, you know, things are a little different. The Jazz were really compromised defensively because neither one of their guards could move defensively.
Right.
So when you have both of your starting guards and neither one of them can move laterally, then, you know, yeah, your defense is going to be compromised. I mean, I just think that there was this, like, there were just a lot of dishonest analyzation of what actually happened to the Jazz in that series.
In basketball? No.
Yeah. So there was a lot of dishonesty and willful dishonesty in analyzing what happened to the Jazz. You know, so I think if they're healthy, I think that there are some things that'll be different.
Yeah. All right. Where do they finish? Are they going to make it to the finals? Do they win the title first round out? What do you got?
I think that they finish 1, 2, or 3 in the Western Conference. I think that they are as good as any team in the West. I think they're as well-rounded and deep as any team in the West. Let's see if they stay healthy. And if they stay healthy, I think that they make it at least to the Western Conference Finals. And then we'll see what happens beyond that.
I have this team going to the finals.
I think that could very well happen. And yeah. I think if they go to the finals, I think they have a chance to win it.
Yep, I think they're going to the finals. I think Milwaukee's going to win it, but I think this team can definitely make the finals.
See, and that's the difference, right? Like if you go to the finals and you see the Brooklyn Nets or the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, as good as Donovan Mitchell is, the Jazz don't have a Giannis Antetokounmpo or they don't have a Kevin Durant.
Yeah, and that's just the difference maker, right?
Right.
But I do think that this team can win the West, man. Like they could have won it last year. It was in play. They ran into a perfect problem for them. So I don't know. I'm excited to see what they do and what they do differently and how it goes. And Tony, I'm going to be reading your stuff every single week.
Yeah, like but we're recording next week.
We are. We're back. We're going to be once a week for the rest of the season. Maybe do some special episodes here and there. Going to try to get some more guests this year. Because I know everyone gets tired of listening to just me and Tony. So yeah.
Nobody could get tired of listening to you, Dave.
Are you ready? I mean, you're in preseason form right now.
I'm in regular season form. How am I in preseason form?
You playing your way into shape?
No.
Is that what's happening here?
I always come into camp into shape. You just come to Salt Lake City and let's get that 100-yard dash in.
Okay. I'm going to make The Athletic, put it all over social media.
Oh, really?
I'm going to look amazing. Yeah. Tony, you just saw me, bro.
You just saw me.
No shirt. I'm going to run it with no shirt on, Tony.
You're going to run it with no shirt on?
Yes.
That's fine. You're going to lose with no shirt on.
Okay.
So, I mean, listen, you're going to be like glistening and sun-kissed.
I'm gonna eat that steak you're gonna have to buy me with no shirt on. You're gonna love it.
I mean, okay, Roos Chris might not love it though.
That's fair. I'll put a shirt on so I can get some service. All right,
love you, bro.
That's gonna do it for this week. I love you too, Tony. That's gonna do it for this week on the Game Notes Podcast, your Utah Jazz podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. Guys, go on the app and follow Tony so that every time he drops a new article, it'll pop up in your app. You can also follow this podcast on the Athletic app or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're a subscriber, of course, it's ad-free. Go to theathletic.com/gamenotes and sign up. For Tony Jones, I'm Dave DeFore, and this has been Game Notes. We'll talk to you guys next week.